Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
Mothers of the Believers, Lives of the Wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Imam Suhaib Webb.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ittaba'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'da, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our series on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the greatest women to ever walk the face of the planet. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we continue with the second wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mother Sawda bin Zam'a radiyallahu anha. Our mother Sawda bin Zam'a, subhanallah, the ulama said so many wonderful things about her. They said first and foremost that she was from the first generation of people to accept Islam. Subhanallah, look how someone's attachment to the truth and being the first to follow the truth can make them famous. Sawda bin Zam'a radiyallahu anha is famous because she was the first of those generations to accept the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing that the scholars said about our mother Sawda bin Zam'a, هاجرت إلى الحبشة وإلى المدينة فهي من أصحاب الهجرتين. That Sawda bin Zam'a radiyallahu anha, she migrated to Ethiopia and she migrated to Medina, therefore she is from the أصحاب الهجرتين, the people who migrated twice. Sawda bin Zam'a radiyallahu anha, she related 5 hadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma and Yahya bin Abdullah al-Ansari, great sahabis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they related on behalf of our mother Sawda bin Zam'a. If you take all of the 6 authentic books, the Sahih Sitta, you'll find that our mother Sawda bin Zam'a narrated 5 hadith in these books. One of these hadith is found in the great work of Imam al-Bukhari, the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. If you really want to know the greatness of our mother Sawda bin Zam'a, listen to the statement of Aisha radiyallahu anha. Listen to the statement of our mother Aisha radiyallahu anha. Aisha says, مَا رَأَيْتُ امْرَأَةً أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي مَسْلَاخِهَا مِنْ سَوْدَةً radiyallahu anha. She says, I never saw a woman that was more beloved to me to emulate and be than Sawda radiyallahu anha. Let's quickly talk about the background and history of our mother Sawda. Her name is Sawda bin Zam'a, the son of Qais, the son of Abdul Wad, the son of Nasr, the son of Madik, the son of Hasl, the son of Amir, the son of Lu'ay, Al-Qarshiya, Al-Amariya. She is Sawda from the tribe of Quraysh, and specifically within the Quraysh, the tribe of Al-Amir. Her mother's name was Shamsus, the daughter of Qais. Her description and her characteristics. SubhanAllah, the ulama said something very interesting about our mother Sawda bin Zam'a, radiyallahu anha. They said she was extremely tall. And we take this from the famous narration of our mother Aisha radiyallahu anha, who said, اجتمع أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عنده ذات يوم. Aisha radiyallahu anha says that one day the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had gathered around him. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, which one of us will be the first one to meet you after your death? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَطْوَالُكُنَّ يَدًا, the one from amongst you who has the longest hands. Aisha radiyallahu anha, immediately she says, we begin to look at each other's hands and compare, subhanallah. And we found that Sawda bin Zam'a, she had the longest hands out of all of us. She says, subhanallah, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it became clear to us that actually the long hands meant the one who would spend the most in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was another wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And insha'Allah ta'ala, we will tell you about her later on. Her Islam. Something very interesting for our sisters who are listening, who became Muslims. You have to realize that most of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are like you in that they became Muslim. Sawda bin Zam'a radiyallahu anha became Muslim in the first year of the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as found in Surah Al-Mudathir, to stand and warn the people and magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that from there to the point that we are in now, this call, it never stopped. And one of the greatest callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, after he accepted Islam, he got busy immediately bringing people into the fold of Islam, his close friends. And Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he would go to people's homes, and there his friends would gather, and he would call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day he went to a home, and he was giving people da'wah, and there was a man in that home, and his name was As-Sakran. As-Sakran radiyallahu anhu. And As-Sakran radiyallahu anhu, he accepted Islam. And As-Sakran, he was the first husband of our mother, Sauda bin Zam'a radiyallahu anha. Therefore, when her husband Sakran accepted Islam, she followed him. A quick lesson we can take here for our brothers is that we have to be the qudwa. We have to be good examples for our wives. That inshallah ta'ala, they're going to follow you, brother, if you're good. They're going to follow you, inshallah ta'ala, if you set the example by holding on to Islam and being a good Muslim. Sauda bin Zam'a, her brother, whose name was Suhail ibn Amr, and she also had a brother named Abdullah. Suhail ibn Amr, he was a famous person and a famous personality in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suhail ibn Amr was that one person when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the sulh of Hudaybiyah, the truce of Hudaybiyah, it was Suhail ibn Amr who, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Don't write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim because I don't know what that phrase means. Write instead, Bismika Allahumma, in your name, O Allah." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu to write it for him. It was also Suhail ibn Amr who, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote, "This is a treaty between Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah," it was Suhail ibn Amr, the brother of Sauda, who said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I don't believe you're the Messenger of Allah. Write your name and your father's name." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did it. Sauda's other brother, Abdullah bin Zam'a, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about him later on in her story. Sauda bin Zam'a and her husband, As-Sakran, after they had received the call of Islam and accepted Islam, immediately they faced difficult times. Especially after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, around the third and fourth year of his prophethood, was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنذِرْ عَشْرَتِكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, when he was ordered to give the call to his tribe's members and family members, and the da'wah, it went open. Immediately after that, Sauda bin Zam'a and her husband, As-Sakran, they went through very, very difficult times. Subhanallah, so difficult were the hardships faced by Sauda and her husband that in the month of Rajab, in the fifth year of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's prophethood, the companions of the Prophet were given permission to migrate to Ethiopia. And there were two groups. The first group was a small group that migrated to Ethiopia. The leader was Uthman bin Affan and his wife Ruqayyah bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And the second group was a larger group. And in that group was Sauda bin Zam'a and her husband As-Sakran. Subhanallah, look at the sacrifice of these people for the truth. You know, to fully appreciate the sacrifice of those people who migrated from Mecca to Ethiopia, realize that in Ethiopia their language was very, very far away from Arabic, that their culture was very, very far away from Arabic. But here we see, and this is a very important lesson for our younger brothers and sisters, and inshallah, we're going to elaborate that when we talk about the life of Salama, our mother Salama, radiallahu anha, that the young couple that's married, you have to begin your marriage for the sake of Allah. And your marriage has to stay for the sake of Allah until you leave this world. Here we see Sauda bin Zam'a and her husband striving with their faith. Subhanallah, brother, when you get offered jobs, don't just accept any job. Make sure that you accept a job. In that city, there's a masjid. In that city, there's an Islamic community that has programs for your wife. In that city, brother and sister, there's an Islamic school for your children. Subhanallah, Sauda bin Zam'a and her husband As-Sakran, in this young marriage, they are putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. It's very important. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْإِحْسَانِ, that we put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost in our marriage. Sara bin Zama and her husband Sakran, they heard that the situation in Mecca had changed and became very hospitable for the people. And immediately when they heard this, they migrated back to Mecca to find out that it was a trick. And there in Mecca, they were tested so greatly. And eventually, Sauda bin Zam'a, she lost her first husband, As-Sakran, radiallahu anhu. And she was left without a husband. Subhanallah. Here's this new Muslim sister in a land where the Muslims are a minority with no husband. Does this sound familiar to you? Doesn't this sound like what we see every day in our masajid? That sisters become Muslim here in North America and they have no husbands. And their family members are non-Muslims. And they be going through it. I heard of a sister, subhanAllah, one time she accepted Islam and her husband divorced her and she came home and she found all her stuff thrown in the front yard and the locks changed. Our sisters is going through it. How did the community of the Prophet ﷺ react to Sauda bin Zam'a being without a husband, this new Muslim sister, in the land where her faith was a minority? It wasn't lip service. It was reaction. The other lesson we want to take from this is if you look from the moment Sauda bin Zam'a radiallahu anha, our mother, accepted Islam, she kept going from test to test to test to test. And the test continually got harder and harder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these tests in the Quran when he says,
وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ.
That by these tests, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will separate the believers from the disbelievers. يُمَحِّص, it came from the Arabic word, you know, when you pan for gold and you stick the pan in the stream and you pull out all that dirt and you shake it, this is يُمَحِّص. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us these tests. Why? To see which one of us is the gold man. Which one of us has that good quality. Sauda bin Zam'a, she was shaken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَزُوزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعُوا مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people were shaken to such an extent until the messenger and those who believed with him said, when will the help of Allah come? SubhanAllah, sister who's going through challenges right now, and brother who's going through challenges right now. What does Allah say? Ala inna nasr Allahi qareeb. Indeed, the help of Allah is close. Don't be scared, don't worry. So Sauda bin Zam'a, she was shaken like this. And we got to get shaken like that, so that all the dirt from the ummah can dissipate, and the gold, the jewels will be there. And the gold is always rare. Sauda bin Zam'a was going through these tests and she came out shining. And you know what happens when you pass a test? You move to the next grade. So after passing all these hardships, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sauda bin Zam'a something that would sweeten her heart and cause her to forget all the difficulties that she faced. The same time that Sauda bin Zam'a lost her husband was the same time when our mother Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha passed away. Thus the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, he was left without any family and he had children to raise and he had no wife. And the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, they were shy to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and tell him, why don't you get married, O Messenger of Allah? Why? Subhanallah, brothers. Because of how much he loved Khadija bin Khuwaylid. The love of the Prophet for Khadija bin Khuwaylid, all the companions, subhanAllah, they knew about it. So they were shy to say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, why don't you get married again? Finally, Khalwa bint Hakim, radiallahu anha, Khalwa, a great woman companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca, and she noticed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was having a difficult time because he had no wife. SubhanAllah, look at the da'wah. The da'wah, it needs good wives. The brother involved in the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he needs that strong pillar, that woman behind him. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا مَتَعْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said that this dunya is nothing but mata'ah, material things. وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا And the best mata'ah of this dunya is what? Is the righteous wife. The Prophet ﷺ, he was approached by Khalwa bint Hakim, who noticed that the Prophet ﷺ was having problems. Look at the community that the Prophet built. They looked after each other. As the Prophet said, Al-Mu'min lil-Mu'min kal-Bunyan, that the believers with each other are like one building. يَشُدُّ بَعْضٌ بَعْضًا They support each other. An authentic hadith. So she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, O Messenger of Allah, why don't you get married? And then he was like, who will I marry? And she said to him, you can marry Aisha or you can marry Sawda bin Zam'a. The Prophet ﷺ, he married both of them actually at the same time. The contract for Aisha and the contract for Sawda bin Zam'a were made at the same time. But let's hear the story of how the Prophet, he married Sawda bin Zam'a. The Prophet ﷺ, he expressed his acceptance of Sawda to be his wife. And immediately Khalwa bint Hakim, she went to Zam'a, the father of Sawda bin Zam'a. And she said to him, how are you? Assalamu alaikum. He said, fine, alhamdulillah. Although he was not a Muslim, he said, I'm fine. And she said, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah, has expressed his intentions to marry your daughter. SubhanAllah, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we be having intentions to marry someone, and everybody knows, and the last person to know is our father and our mother. This is not the correct way to do things. Unfortunately, also fathers and mothers, many times our children feel that you are the last person that they could talk to. So it's a two-way street here, that the parents have to have that trust from the children, and the children have to trust their parents. But if the children feel that they can't talk to their parents, this is where we start to have all these problems. So Khalwa, she came to the father of Sawda, and she told him, and he said, I would be honored to have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as my son-in-law. But first, go and ask my daughter Sawda. SubhanAllah, there was no railroad of marriages back then. Nowadays, the sister comes home and her parents are there and she says, you know, I want to get married. And the mother and father become very happy. They say, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, you can marry whoever you want as long as it's your cousin from the village back home. The sister says, what? Yeah, as long as it's your cousin from the village, population 40 people, back home. And we railroad are young people's future plans, man. What did the father of Sawda bin Zam'a do, brothers? He said, ask her. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam when he was ordered to slaughter his son. Still, he said to his son Ismail in Surah Safat, what did he say? فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى What do you think about this order that I received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This doesn't mean that Ibrahim is not going to do it. But we learn the lesson of shura, even between parents. What did Ismail say to his father? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ Oh my father, do what you were ordered. InshaAllah ta'ala, you'll find me from the people of patience. So subhanAllah, we see that the beginning of her marriage was on barakah. Her father was involved, her father involved her. And what happened, mashaAllah, was a blessed marriage. Thereafter, Sawda bin Zam'a became Sawda, the wife of the greatest human being to ever walk the face of the earth, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave her 400 dirham as a mahr. And Sawda bin Zam'a, we mentioned earlier that she had her brother Suhail and also a brother named Abdullah. Abdullah bin Zam'a, he was out of Mecca at the time that his sister married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was a disbeliever. And when he came into Mecca and he was informed that his sister married Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, he became enraged. SubhanAllah, this happened to our sisters who become Muslim. When they get married and they marry a Muslim man, their family blows up. He became enraged. The test doesn't stop for Sawda bin Zam'a. Although she was given this relief of the test by marrying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tests keep coming, man. One day I was talking to a brother. He said, in the da'wah, we go after this test, we have this test, we have this test. I said, hey man, welcome to the road. This is the road of the da'wah. The road is filled with tests. Paradise is surrounded by tests. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that paradise is surrounded by things people don't like. Sauda bin Zam'a, her brother Abdullah, when he found out, he went off, man. He went to his father Zam'a and he said, "Hey man, how could you let her marry Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And Abdullah, he got so angry that he picked up a handful of sand and he threw it in his face. This is how enraged he was. But you know what? Later on, see, because there's the test, right? Now, inshallah, after the test comes ease. فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Verily, with hardship is ease. Verily, with hardship is ease. You know what happened to Abdullah later on? Let me give you a hint. I'm going to say his name. Abdullah bin Zam'a radiallahu anhu. Abdullah became a Muslim. He became a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what he said after that? He said, "May I be destroyed on the day that I took that dust and threw it in my face because I objected to Sauda, my sister, marrying al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Let's talk about some of the important things that happened in the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Sauda bin Zam'a. Because you have to realize there was a long period there where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only lived with Sauda, because Aisha radiallahu anha would come and live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on in Medina. The first one is that the call, the da'wah, it went outside of Mecca. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, who he trained like Musab ibn Umair, they begin to spread the call of Islam to the different tribes and individuals who lived outside of Medina. The people of Medina came to Mecca as a breeze giving hope to the Muslims in Mecca. And those people from Medina, they pledged to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first Aqaba pledge to believe in his call and to accept his call. And then in the second Aqaba pledge, they agreed to help and defend and serve the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thereby open the gate for the hijrah of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. Al-Isra wal Mi'raj happened while the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was married to Sauda bin Zam'a radiallahu anha. Imagine if your husband came home and said that those things happened to him. What type of strength you'd have to support your husband. Many people at that time left Islam when they heard that the Prophet was saying that he made Isra wal Mi'raj. So Sauda bin Zam'a, she was supporting the da'iyah. She was supporting the one who was calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Nadwa, the council of the Quraysh, which they made, they agreed therein to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place while Sauda bin Zam'a radiallahu anha was living with him. How did Sauda bin Zam'a migrate to Medina? Subhanallah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Zayd bin Thabit and Abu Rafa'i to migrate with the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave them 500 dirham. Thus Zayd and Abu Rafa'i migrated, taking Fatima, al-Kuthum, Ayman, Sauda bin Zam'a, Ayman al-Habashi, who was the wife of Zayd, and with them was a small baby boy. And his name was Usama bin Zayd radiallahu an. Usama bin Zayd, the same young boy that at the age of 16 or 17 would be sent by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his deathbed to lead the last army that was sent out by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and would be later sent out by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Some of the great qualities of Sauda that we want to focus on, that hopefully inshallah ta'ala our sisters can acquire, and that as brothers we can help our wives to acquire and our daughters to acquire. And also at the same time, these qualities apply to brothers. The first one was her sacrifice for knowledge. They say, al-ilm imam al-amal, that knowledge is the imam of actions. So Sauda bin Zam'a, she knew that in order to be a good practicing Muslimah, she had to have knowledge. Nowadays we find people who think we can just practice without knowledge, but this is very dangerous. And we hear people say that, you know, the world is like a burning house and we're walking by it as Muslims and we got to run in the house and start grabbing people and pulling them out. Yes, but even the fire department, before they run up in a burning house, they take what with them? The blueprints. So Sauda bin Zam'a, she wanted the blueprints. And she worked hard to gain knowledge. You know, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in an authentic hadith, after he migrated to Medina, and there in Medina he married Aisha radiallahu anha, Sauda bin Zama, she got scared. She thought, now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has Aisha, she's young and she's so pretty and beautiful, I'm sure, she said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's going to divorce me. And she got nervous. And she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, because Sauda bin Zama at that time, she was old. She said, Ya Rasulullah, if you desire, I'm going to give you my night, and you can give that night to Aisha radiallahu anha. But just keep me as your wife. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no intention of divorcing Sauda bin Zama radiallahu anha, but he accepted this agreement. And subhanAllah, he stayed with Sauda bin Zama even after that. Why did she do this? What would make her give up this night with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because she gave up that night, but she maintained her companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she continued to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she continued to see him and his, mashaAllah, glowing example in her life. What about us nowadays, sisters? We find it hard just to read one book. We find it hard to memorize just a little bit of the Quran, to memorize, brothers and sisters, a few hadith, to go to a dars, to enroll in an Islamic university, to study, to attend the lessons of different mashaykh. We're like, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to go. SubhanAllah, look at the struggle of Sauda bin Zama. It's important to realize that what made this Muslim ummah so great was founded on the struggles of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their struggles are our foundation. And nowadays we lost that edge to struggle, to learn, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be good people. But here we find Sauda bin Zama continually struggling, even giving up her night with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? So that she could continue to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another proof about the interest that Sauda had radiallahu anha in knowledge is that she used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam questions. And one time the animal of Sauda bin Zama, it died. And she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is this halal? Can we eat this? And subhanAllah, look at the barakah of our mother Sauda bin Zama, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a verse of Quran due to the question of our mother Sauda bin Zama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قُلْ لَا أَرِدُ فِي مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ مُحَرَّمًا عَلَىٰ طَاعِمٍ يَطْعَمُهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ مَيْتًا أو دما مسفوحا أو لحم خنزير فإنه رجس أو فسقا أهل لغير الله به فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this verse in Surah Al-An'am, the 6th chapter of the Quran, where it says, say, O Muhammad, I do not find anything that has been revealed to me saying that any type of food is haram, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to mention some of the types of things which are haram, and one of those things he mentioned was the animal that died of itself. SubhanAllah, sisters, by asking questions and being inquisitive to learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent verses of Quran, subhanAllah, because of those questions and the inquisitive nature of our mother Sauda bin Zama. Unfortunately, when we go to conferences now or if we give lectures in the masajid, the sisters are not even given an outlet to ask questions. We should, inshaAllah ta'ala, brothers, allow our sisters to write down their questions and ask their questions to our scholars so that they can learn, because our sisters are the ones who are going to raise our children. Sauda bin Zama also had a very nice sense of humor. And one time, Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anha, they said to Sawda bin Zam'a that the Dajjal has come. And subhanAllah, Sawda bin Zam'a, she got scared and she ran in her home and she was shaking and she was so scared. The Prophet ﷺ, he came into the home and he saw her and she said to him, أَخْرَجُ الدَّجَّال? Did the Dajjal come? The Prophet ﷺ said to her, لَا وَكَأَنَّ قَدْ أَخْرَجْ. No, he didn't come, but indeed it is like he has came, meaning the time is very, very close for him to come. SubhanAllah, we take one important lesson from this. How many times have we heard about the Dajjal? What effect did it have on our heart? How many times we heard the khutbah where the khatib is talking about the hellfire, the paradise, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did it affect our heart? Look at this, subhanAllah. Aisha and Hafsa, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are teasing Sawda bin Zam'a and she doesn't know it. And look how scared she is. SubhanAllah, sister, when was the last time your eye shed some tears because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Brother, when was the last time your eye was shed in tears, given that sadaqah from your eye? Because many times the college brothers and sisters say, I ain't got no money to give in sadaqah, but you got those tears from your eyes, that you can give a sadaqah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Sawda bin Zam'a found out that Hafsa and Aisha were joking with her, she had a good laugh, and alhamdulillah, the narrator says that they laughed about this joke that they played on her. Also, the verses ordering the wives of the Prophet ﷺ to wear hijab were sent down because of Sawda bin Zam'a. We know that Umar radiallahu anhu, he was pressing the Prophet ﷺ in Medina to order his wives to wear hijab. The Prophet ﷺ, he would not do this until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to do so. Sawda bin Zam'a radiallahu anha, she used to, any of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to go out in the night and they would use the restroom and take care of their physical needs at night. And one night Sawda bin Zam'a, she came out and she was very, very, very tall. And Umar radiallahu anhu, the people that he was sitting with, he noticed Sawda bin Zam'a walking. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to Sawda bin Zam'a, he said to her, Ala qad arafnaki ya Sawda. He would say, Ya Sawda, we recognize you. Why was he saying this? Because of his intense desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal the verses of hijab. And you know what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. And actually around 5 or 6 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent verses of the Quran that agreed with the ijtihad of Umar radiallahu anhu. One lesson we can take from this is that Sawda bin Zam'a, when she went out in the night. You know, sisters and brothers, many times we go to conventions, many times we go to the masajid, and we find that the brothers and the sisters, they mix in. We find many times we see a sister wearing a body glove jilbab with a disco hijab. But Sawda bin Zam'a, subhanAllah, she has this haya to go out in the night to make sure she's not seen by the people. And when Umar said this to her, she went and complained to the Prophet. Tell Umar, stop looking at me. Of course, Umar, he wasn't looking at her in a bad way. He just happened to notice her. But what about now, sister, when you're walking by the brothers? Do you have that khashya in your heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, sister? And you thinking more about the eyes of a brother than that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you? You got to check yourself, man. Same with the brothers. With your disco shalwar kameez walking by the sisters, all macho, watch yourself. Because Sawda bin Zam'a, she was carrying herself with haya. And unfortunately now, in North America, this haya is on the endangered species list amongst the young people. So that's one important lesson we can take from our mother, Sawda bin Zam'a, that she had this haya to be seen by other men. I hope, inshallah, that our brothers and sisters, we can exercise, inshallah, this haya with each other, inshallah. Another great quality of Sawda bin Zam'a was her zuhd fi dunya. And a zuhd fi dunya, a zuhd means that you have the dunya in your hand, not in your heart. A zuhd doesn't mean that you turn away from the dunya and that you turn away from things. Because, subhanAllah, as Ibn Qayyim mentioned, that Suleiman and Dawood, they were the people who had the most zuhd in their day. But still they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Suleiman ask Allah? To make him a king. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest zahid in his day. But still he was married to 9 wives. He used to like to wear the nice white Yemeni cloth, nice perfume, use his miswak. SubhanAllah, but still he was from the people of Zuhd. Nowadays, people think being from Zuhd means you wear some nasty clothes, you don't brush your teeth, and you make your eyes look like you're tired. This is not Zuhd, this is Riyat. Sawda bin Zam'a radiallahu anha, one day Umar, he sent to her a large gift, which was some cash, as charity to her. And subhanAllah, she distributed all of this to the poor people. She didn't keep any of it for herself. She gave it to the poor people. Sawda bin Zam'a also, she was known, and the scholars like Imam al-Dhahabi, they mentioned that she was known in her lifetime for being very strict on sticking to the book and the sunnah, holding on to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She died at the end of the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. Some people said she died 54 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the time of Muawiyah, but it seems that the stronger opinion is that she died at the end of the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. We finish now with one amazing story, and I want you to pay attention to this story. Focus. On the day she died, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was sitting in the masjid after Fajr with his companions, and he was not yet aware of the death of our mother, Sawda bin Zam'a radiallahu anha. Ibn Abbas was sitting with his companions, and suddenly someone came and whispered something in the ear of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And immediately Ibn Abbas did what? He fell into sujood. He went to sujood and he began to implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After rising from his sujood, some of the students of Ibn Abbas and his companions said, "Are you making sujood at this time?" Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us that if we are faced with a trial, we should make sujood and implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. And listen to what Ibn Abbas, he said. He said, فَأَيُّ آيَةٍ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ ذِهَابِ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, and is there a greater trial than the death of one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The wife that Ibn Abbas was talking about was our mother, Sawda bint Zam'a. Subhanallah, what qualities must she have had that would cause Ibn Abbas to do so? She clung to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet. She, subhanallah, was willing to sacrifice for knowledge. And because of this, look how one of the greatest Muslims that ever lived, Ibn Abbas, reacted to her death by making sujood and imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We leave now the life of our mother, Sawda bin Zam'a. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless her, to put light in her grave, and to allow us to be with her and the other righteous people on the Day of Judgment with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَزَاكَمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Some tech CDs. Hello, sister, come closer, man.
Yes.
Oh, I got all the latest CDs. Kaika, just look at the nuts. Beautiful, beautiful nasheeds also. Just buy one CD, man.
Yeah, but
what do you mean you don't buy pirate CDs? Does I look like a pirate? No, we don't copy CDs. We just burn them. But listen now, that's beyond the point, man. Just see how many lecture CDs we got. Maulana Katani, Maulana Suleiman Mullah, Dadaj Mufti Menk. Oh, Moses. You don't want it? Okay, no problem. There's it. Quran. What zeg Sudais? Wait, come back. Ach, nee, man. As recht wat mensen say, crime doesn't pay.
Say no to piracy. Get the original. Syntec Islamic CDs. South Africa's leading Islamic media and audio CD manufacturer. Visit our website at www.simtechcds.co.za. Our email is info@simtechcds.co.za.
Please proceed to the next CD.